Friends, I'm turning this morning to the Gospel of John, chapter 8, and verse 36. Gospel of John, chapter 8, and verse 36. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. And this verse is going to be our focus as we think of the subject, only Christ gives true freedom. You can see the words concerning freedom and slavery in that verse and the ones which come before it. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. And the word therefore points to us that something has been said before out of which that statement is made. And so we concern ourselves with the two preceding verses. From verse 34, Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever." And then the statement comes, "If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." Freedom and slavery, and we will consider why Jesus Christ is the only one who grants true freedom, as we have just hinted. The Gospel of John chapter 8, as we read, is a long discourse between Jesus Christ and the Jews. 59 verses of back and forth exchanges between our Lord and the Jews. And the Lord takes pains to prove to them that they cannot trust in their privileges. Being children of Abraham means nothing unless one comes to him by faith. So he speaks about very important matters concerning himself to prove to the Jews that they need something higher than just being a Jew and a child of Abraham. He mentions, for example, in verse 12, that he is the light of the world, that famous statement which has a lot to teach us about something beyond what we see. Jesus is the light of the world. Then verses 17 and 18, he speaks about him being the promised Messiah, the one promised in the Old Testament to come, to be the one who will be offered as a sacrifice for sin. And then our statement comes that he is the one who grants true freedom. When he spoke these things, some of the Jews believed in him. But then he realized, and the context also tells us, that that belief was fake. It was a superficial belief. That is the statement that we find in verses 30 and 31. As he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, "If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed." So then, we are taught that there is a difference between saying with your mouth that you believe in Christ and how the evidence of true faith is. It is in continuing in the word. Not that your continuance saves you, but that your continuance proves that you are a true believer. Repentance is what will show that you have truly believed. And so that, in a sense, infuriates the Jews, and they begin to accuse him that, "Who are you to tell us about death and about freedom?" Because after that statement in verse 31, he says, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." So then he begins that theme of freedom. If ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Then he continues in verse 33. They answered him, "We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" Which is not true, as the Jews said. At the time they spoke, they were in slavery to the Romans. They had also been in slavery to the Babylonians before. So it wasn't true at all. But what do we mean by the verse we have in verse 36? "If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." We'll be thinking about this to answer that question about slavery and freedom, and why we have to think of a better freedom in Jesus Christ. and to know in what sense our lives are lived as slaves. We must think of this, for sometimes we forget ourselves and think that we are free when indeed we are living as slaves. So I'm going to speak about the slavery to sin in verse 33, and then temporal and false freedom we find in verse 34, and then true freedom, we will speak about that in verse 34 about slavery to sin, 35 about temporal and true freedom, and false freedom, and 36 about true freedom given by Jesus Christ the Son. So slavery to sin, what does it mean that a man is a slave to sin? For the verse says, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. Now what this doesn't mean is that if you commit a sin, you are a slave to sin. Now there is a sense by which when Adam committed one sin, all of his posterity and himself became slaves to sin. That is true. But since then, it is not one sin which makes a person a slave to sin. The word whosoever committed sin is about whosoever is committed to sin. You are devoted to sin. You have made sin your companion and you live in it. You are unrepentant of it. That is what that word means. Whosoever committed sin is the servant of sin. And the word servant in the New Testament literally means slave. So whosoever is committed to sin, devoted to sin, given over to sin, ruled by sin, unrepentant in sin, that is the slave to sin. And that we are going to speak about pictures of such a person. Who is one who is committed to sin and devoted to sin? The slave to sin is understood in terms of the soul. His heart is inclined towards evil. That is the picture of man from birth. You are born, and the first things you prefer in this world are evil things. Greed, selfishness, lying, stealing. That is the character of every child. And as he grows and becomes stronger, then more evils attend the person. And these pictures are given us. The heart is inclined towards evil. Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And then in Genesis 6:5, it says, every imagination of the thoughts of the heart of man is continually evil. Friends, it is very interesting how some of our charismatic pastors make the Bible speak differently about man. But if I read to you the many testimonies the Bible has about man by nature, it is a very sad picture. The Bible doesn't speak well about man at all. But some pastors falsely make it look as if man is okay. Here are some of them concerning the soul again. John 3:19, men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. What do men like? Is it the Bible? No. Men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. Here's another one. The carnal mind is enmity against God, and is not subject to his law, neither indeed can it be. Romans 8:7. The testimonies are plenty. Here's another one. Man does not understand. No one understands at all. No one seeks after God. Every mouth is evil. This is the testimony of God to man. He mistrusts God and everything he has provided. Despite the rainfall and the sunshine and the food we enjoy, we still do not trust God. We think that God doesn't like us at all. And so we try to find our own ways of seeking our happiness. We don't believe that God has something better in store for us. These are all testimonies about man. He is spiritually blind. We also know that in scripture. 2 Corinthians 4. He is disabled. He is imprisoned. He is in bondage to sin. And that is the picture of slavery. These are matters pertaining to the soul. What is the cause of our bodily sins? It is because the heart, the mind, the affections, all the things pertaining to the soul are in bondage to sin. Slavery is the picture. So whosoever committed sin is the servant of sin. One picture of it is the slavery to sin. So we can learn that This is the root of man's sin. The soul, the invisible part of man, is held captive to sin. And therefore, it is wrong to look to your body for freedom from slavery. You can't by yourself add more power to your body in order to stop sinning. If you try that, you will fail. You will actually get worse. It is equally wrong to look to your soul for freedom, because you cannot save yourself. You cannot release yourself from this prison. Because verse 36, once again, if the Son shall make you free, not that if you make yourself free, it is given. Freedom is given freely by Christ. You cannot make yourself free. Then it is also wrong to look to society for freedom. There are many projects of freedom which are instituted by governments across our country. Poverty reduction, illiteracy reduction, programs to reduce unemployment, programs to reduce social injustice, inequality, corruption. They are promises of freedom, but they are not, because they do not pertain to the soul. The soul is in bondage, which makes anyone who is unsaved the child of the devil. Despite the fact that you may be born to parents of Christians, or you may be in a church and be very active. But then there's evidence of slavery to sin in the body. How does man show this slavery? His trade and employment are sin. He sells himself to work out sin and profits from it. There is a lot of evidence in this. He approves of those who do the same. If you want an evidence of these things I'm speaking about, find time to read Romans chapter 1. Read from verses 17 down to the end of the chapter. You will see the wickedness of man demonstrated there. He does not only commit sin, but he gives approval to those who commit it. They support with their money programs of evil. And there's a lot in our land today. Now, how does a man demonstrates that he is a slave to sin, so that we all can check ourselves and examine ourselves? You can check, what do you lust after? So the slave to sin will lust after watching TV and the internet. He is consumed by social media chatting, playing video games, pornography, all manner of evil, which are today the preoccupation of young people. Have you seen the number of gambling houses opening up in our land? More football betting, more betting for games, and so on. More of them are opening up, more casinos are opening up, more drinking bars are opening up. It is no wonder that we speak of man's slavery to sin. Then you can verify whether you are a slave to sin by what you delight in. As in, do you take pleasure in listening to motivational teachers who would tickle your ears with fanciful things, and then you leave aside the Bible? You hear things about how you can better your life at the expense of the Bible. You listen to pastors who do not preach the gospel, because they preach things about life principles and business and so on. University professors who have all manner of arguments against the Bible. It is written by man. It may not be true. There are things people added to it. They give all manner of reasons. If you take pleasure in these things, it means you are a slave to sin, friend. Be careful about this. How about TV personalities and celebrities? Where are you learning about the most important issues of life? Is it from the television? Marriage. How to have a better life. Is it from the television? Are you craving after the messages in the advertisements? If they drive you, be careful, because it may be that you are a slave to sin. The fashions of the world today, the dressing styles which drive people to live according to that, they are all testimonies of slavery to sin. Then, what about your appetites? If you live by bread alone, as Jesus said, you are in danger. If all that makes you happy, it's about let us eat and drink and tomorrow we die, be careful. Right? Drinking alcohol, smoking and injecting drugs, taking substances for stimulating the body and mind, and then turning the kingdom of God into meat and drink. These are testimonies of slavery. And so we should be careful. Either we are fully in it, or we are heading towards it. All of them are dangerous things, which we should be very much aware of. So, let's be careful about these things. It is right to look to Jesus only for true freedom, because nothing else in this can grant you that true freedom. So, dear friend, what do you do with your body? It's a question you have to ask yourself. Where do you take your body most of the time? How do you treat it with the fashions of the world today? What do you think about your body? That is a sign of slavery, because what is in the soul and the heart will manifest in the body. So it has a question of checking what you do with your body. How do you think of it? How do you pamper it? How do you try to make it your God? And you keep buying things just for the sake of the body. There is a picture of the slavery to sin also in terms of the consequences, which is the many things we find. I am just giving you proof why there is something called slavery to sin. We forget about it many times. What are the consequences when men have become indulgent in pornography and television and drugs and alcohol, immorality? What happens is that we contract diseases, what are called venereal diseases, AIDS, syphilis, gonorrhea. Abortions are also a consequence. It is not the beginning of sin. When men begin to approve abortions and legalize it, it is not the beginning, it is a consequence. It means society has degraded completely. Homosexual practices, divorce, nakedness, which is immoral dressing where more of the flesh is shown, shamelessness, which is people committing sins in the open, speaking about it boldly on television, openly standing in the street half naked, boldness in sin, hatred for God. And then one evidence of this, which I would want us to also consider, is what is called degradation. When men increasingly are characterizing themselves like animals, men are being degraded. Our brother spoke about one of this some time ago. Why do women color their hair? It is animals which come with multiple colors. Why do men want to show more of their flesh? It is animals who do that. But you will see the degradation in men when we can have animal rights and legalize it, and yet promote abortion and kill children in the womb. Degradation of man. All of these speak about slavery. So you can see our current society describes the consequences of slavery, which I am speaking about negatively here. Our society will consider that as human progress and freedom. We are advancing, they will say. The more we believe in evolution, the more we support children's freedom to practice sex and take alcohol, and they are left to watch television and do what they like. That is called human freedom and progress and advancement. But the Bible says this is slavery to sin. And so I ask, friend, do you believe these arguments? If you do, or you have any kind of sense of thinking that they are right, it may be that you are not safe at all. Be careful, because that may mean that you are a slave to sin. So I come to the next point concerning the temporal and false freedoms. Those are given us in verse 35. Look at the words carefully in that verse. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth ever. The things I spoke about slavery, if you are still not convinced, consider these things about temporal and false freedoms, because you have to think about this matter all the way to the bottom to appreciate what we are speaking about. Temporal freedom, that is what we are given. And the servant abideth not in the house forever. In other words, there is a servant who stays in the house for a short period, but he doesn't stay there forever. But the son abides forever. The Jews, I'm sure you would have known, as the passage tells us, they thought that because they are Jews, they went to the temple, they offered sacrifices, they were a privileged people. But they forgot about the story of Ishmael, Abraham's son. Did he abide in Abraham's house? Yes. Did he live there for a while? Yes. Did he think that he was going to be there forever? Yes. But he was wrong. Ishmael, he was cast out because he was considered a slave. Isaac, who was rather the son of promise and the proper son, abided there forever. So, there is a big issue here concerning deceit. How a man can be falsely deceived to think that the temporal freedoms he has are actually eternal freedoms. The servant abideth not in the house forever. It means there is a historical reference here to the ungodly Jews. I'm sure you are not in doubt that these people Jesus spoke to were ungodly. They wanted to kill him. They claim that they are Abraham's children, and yet they wanted to kill Jesus, and Jesus told them, "The devil is your father, because you are liars, you are murderers." And yet they went to the temple. They sang, they read the Bible, and yes, they were wicked men. And that should tell us about how we must think about our lives beyond church attendance, beyond having an affection for sound preaching, beyond the pleasure for listening to hymns, even beyond Christian service. The soul is what matters. So what it means here for us is temporal freedoms God can give. Like I said, Ishmael, he had plenty of privileges. The way the account is given us in Genesis, he lived until he was more than 20 years in that house. Yet, he did not abide forever. He was cast out. And that is a picture of how one day, if we think that we are not slaves to sin, when we are indeed slaves to sin, we will wake up one day and it will be a disaster. You will be cast out. So, temporal freedom. The servant abideth not in the house forever. What are the temporal privileges we have, which makes a slave to sin deceived? He enjoys freedom such as movement in this world. And many of us have that. You wake up in the morning, you can eat, you can run, you can drink, you can go to school, you can play. And therefore you think that will remain forever. Then there's also spiritual privileges. You can attend church, you can even be a very good singer. You can like hymns, and you can like listening to good preaching, and yet you may still be a slave to sin, because you are indulging in all the things I've mentioned, but you've kept them secret in your heart. The slave to sin also is deceived to think that his temporal freedoms are everlasting, because he never repents of sin. He remains in it, and then because he has privileges, because God has not brought judgment upon him, because he is able to say one or two Christian words, and he is able to talk about Christian things, and he is able to come to church, he thinks those are going to be there forever. Then he also thinks that temporal blessings such as good health, and I'm sure you know that many wicked people live for a long time. Many live to 90 years, 100 years, and they think that they are saved. They are blessed. Material things, social status, power, business, all of those are examples of things which God gives to us to enjoy, and yet they enslave many, many souls. Many trust in their property, and yet they are enslaved. So, I ask you, friend, do you think like this? It is a dangerous kind of thinking, because if you do, you are living in danger. Slavery to sin means that one day you will be cast out. You can enjoy all the blessings. Is your mother and father, are they Christians? Have you enjoyed Sunday school and listened to many messages? Do you like coming to Sunday school? Do you like coming to church? And you think that these are enough. This may be dangerous, because one day, being a slave, a servant in the house, you will be cast out. But that is not as dangerous as what is called false freedom. Because the temporal freedom can lead to false freedom. Falsehood. I think I am saved, and yet I am not. So be careful. Are you sure? Let's consider these things. The Jews, they thought falsely about their salvation. Look at verse 33 once again. It says, they answered him, "We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" We are Abraham's grandchildren. Who are you to come and tell us that we are slaves? We are not free. We are rather free. And you know, they rather called Jesus Christ a slave because they accused him that he is the child of a prostitute. The Lord of heaven who came down to save, the Jews called him the child of a prostitute. And that is a typical example of how temporal freedom, if you don't repent of it, you can end up actually believing in false freedom. So they were enslaved, and so is the enslaved sinner today, who thinks he has true freedom because he was born into a Christian family, and things of that sort. How were they also enslaved? They were enslaved because they thought they were going to remain Israelites forever. You know the story. It wasn't long before, less than 40 years, the whole of Jerusalem was ransacked by the Roman army. Israel was no more a nation. They were scattered. So even temporarily, their freedoms didn't last. But then, there was something better than being a child of Abraham in the blood, because that could not save anyone. Moses in the Old Testament had already said before that you must be circumcised in the heart, not in the flesh, because that could take you nowhere. So slavery to sin is something which can make people believe in the false version of freedom. That because I have this and this and these privileges, I am okay. And that is a typical picture of the unrepentant sinner. And if you are among us here in this room, please consider these things carefully, because the matters are about the soul. Is your soul free? Are you hooked by some things in this world which do not make you love the Lord as you ought and give yourself over to Him? Remember the words Jesus said in verse 31, "If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed." It is not saying with your mouth that I believe and I am saved and I am free. So, what is it about false freedom? The Jews thought that they were going to remain Jews forever and inherit Abraham's blessings, the land. But that wasn't true. So also, many people today think that so long as they remain unrepentant and in bondage, they think still that one day they will go to heaven. It is very common among many people. "Oh, I know I am not a perfect person," they say, "and I know that I commit sins, but I'm a good person." Or, "I know that I shall be able to stand before God one day and plead for mercy." Or some people say, as we have heard them in the streets, "It is not sure about where I'm going to be, but then one day God will have mercy on me." Now, the greatest of the falsehoods today propagated by many charismatic churches is the pastors have made people to believe that once they believe they will go to heaven, they will go to heaven. I don't know if you understand this matter. Believe that you will go to heaven, because whatever you believe will come true. Faith, they say, but that is not true at all. You can't wish heaven for yourself. You can't wish you will be there and then you will go there. There is substance in faith. There must be repentance of faith. There must be submission of the will to Christ. That is in what we consider to be true repentance and faith. So, let's be careful about false freedoms. And we have many reasons to thank God for giving us so much freedom to do many things. But many of them can count as false freedoms, and we should be very careful about them. So let me speak practically about some of these things which we can speak of. Here are some of the examples of false freedoms in our current society. Now, I'll mention them one by one. Freedom from being formal and orderly. It is one of the trends of our society today, which I want to share with you. Freedom from formality and orderliness. Where is the evidence? "I would like to wear jeans which are torn." It's one of them. "I want to have my hair scruffy, not well groomed. I would want to have an appearance borrowed from the rebellious culture." It seems innocent. It seems a matter just for the body and not for the soul. But because it's borrowed from a wicked and rebellious culture of entertainment, we should be careful. It may be that you are not thinking about these things, but many young people today are falling into that trap, that slavery. It is fashionable to wear things which are torn, things which are dirty, make your hair scruffy, do anything which is apart from formal and orderly. But that is ungodly, because the Bible promotes formality and orderliness. Here's another one. Freedom from biblical authority is what people have been promised today. What does the Bible promote? The Bible has authority over man. Repent and believe, it says. Alright, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not worship other gods, thou shalt abstain from all appearance of evil, and things of that sort. What does the world promote? What freedom does it promote? Human rights, children's rights, women's rights, freedom of speech. Some of them may not be wrong in themselves, but what they have happened to be is that they have turned people's eyes from what is true freedom, and people are following these things as the proper freedoms of the world, but they are not. Human rights is not biblical in any sense. Children's rights is not biblical. All of those things are dangerous, and if you fall for them, slowly you will become a slave to sin. Here's another one. Freedom from morality. Moral codes. What is right? What is wrong? Here is what the world is promising. But when people become freedom from morality, they will be better. But what happens is that there are more unmarried people practicing fornication. Do that and you will be free. Remove yourself from all the restraints which your parents bring upon you. You will be told, stop this, stop that, don't do this, don't do that, don't go here and don't go there. But man, the first thing he wants to do when he's growing up is to get away from that restriction and wants to be free to do what he wants. So fornication has become common. Married people are practicing adultery because it's the fashion of the day. And I have heard my friend saying, how can it be that I'm going to remain with one woman forever? How can I have a relationship with only one woman all my life? That is slavery. That is something which doesn't give me freedom. I must have the freedom to engage in whatever I want. But while this is a promise of freedom, it is actually slavery. Alright? Then there is slavery in terms of dressing. And short skirts, and tight dresses, short dresses, and what is becoming very common today among many, which some of us haven't thought clearly about. If the Bible tells us that the more we show the flesh, the more sinful we are, and that we must continually cover, and we should be careful about dresses like those, what is called today, see-through, which allows people to be able to look through and see your flesh. These are all hints, friends. Let's be careful, because the devil works in very, very subtle ways. Even when we are saved, he can bring our lives under some form of slavery. But the unsaved is worse, because he will be taken over completely by these kinds of things. So the promise of freedom to do whatever you like will rather bring you slavery. I'll give you an example from the Bible once more. In Luke chapter 8, verses 26 to 36, we won't turn there. There is a story of the man of Gadara, which I'm sure you will know. The man who was mad and he walked among the tombs. That man was a free man, given what he was told, what is written about him, but not true freedom. Because he was able to do whatever he liked. Even when they bound him with chains, he broke them. He was not under any rule about proper behavior in the society. He worked as he liked. He did what he liked. Nobody could bind him. Nobody could chain him. No restraints at all. And yet, when Jesus met him, the Bible tells us that he was rather in slavery. To who? Over 1,000 devils. Legend was his name, as it is said. So let's be careful. What the world will promise as true freedom can actually be slavery. When it tells you you can do what you like, walk where you like, go where you like, do whatever you like, it is false freedom. Do you want another proof of what true freedom is? God himself. One of the doctrines of God is that he is the most free person. How? We know that God cannot sin. God cannot lie. God cannot be unrighteous. How then do we say that God is most free? That is how we should learn about our freedom. True freedom doesn't mean you can do whatever you like. True freedom means you are given the power to be able to do right. and also abstain from evil. So let's be careful about these things. I'll give you more examples whilst we are heading towards the close. The sexual revolution, which I'm sure some of you know, it promises sexual freedom. This is very common in Europe and America, and is coming into our land. What is the result? More sexually transmitted diseases, more broken marriages, less love for people, coldness of heart towards people, and corruption and wickedness towards our fellow human beings. What about democracy? It promises freedom, and we love the fact that we have freedom to do some things. But what do we see democracy has done? It has actually brought slavery, because more people are dependent on politicians, more have become dependent on government, more are enslaved to the political system. Consider the entertainment industry also. What does it promise? With the rock music, with the dance, with the concert parties, and the beaches, and all manner of indulgences which people are promised. It promises self-pleasure, and yet it ends up enslaving people to drugs and alcohol, enslaving people to television, enslaving people to immorality. You get hooked, and all your mind and all your thoughts will be about some celebrity somewhere. The charismatic movement, what did it promise? It promised freedom. Here is what they said when they came. Look at that Orthodox Church. All that it does is hymn singing and Bible reading, and then the ministers have made themselves lords over them. What did they promise? They promised that everybody can exercise his spiritual gifts, they said, because that system has made those people stifled. Their spiritual gifts are stifled. Now what do we see today? The charismatic movement has enslaved thousands. Be careful about promises of freedom. Secular education does so. It promises freedom by science and technology, and people get worse because they become enslaved to technology. The corporate culture of our day, dress nicely and go to work, and that is the better life. Well, you become enslaved to your company, you become enslaved to your boss, you will become enslaved to long working hours, you will become enslaved to restlessness. So, don't think falsely about freedom. And I ask again, do you think like this? Are you here? Are you sure that you are not enslaved to any of these things? Let's consider what is true freedom as we head to a close. Jesus abides forever. Verse 36 of our verse, of our passage. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. If the Son, Jesus Christ, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Why can he make such a promise and give true freedom? Because he is God. He is the Son of God and God the Son. He is most free. I've just told you about God's freedom. He is most free. His nature makes him right and to do right, and he is incapable of doing wrong. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. He can make such a promise because, although he is called a servant, I'm sure you know, that is not what we mean here at all. His servanthood is in the work he came to do. But in his divinity, he is God. He is the Son, and he can make you free indeed. Real freedom. He is the eternal God, the same yesterday, today, and forever, the creator of all things. He is the eternal Son. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. He shall make you free. The word shall is about certainty. Jesus gives certain freedom, not the false one, as we have just read about, not temporal freedom, true freedom in the soul, not in the body. If the Son therefore shall make you free, this is certainty. Anyone who comes to him repenting and believing will have sure freedom. You will have better life. Please be careful about these things, friends. He shall make you free. And the word make is about forming. Make, formation. He forms you into a new character. He shall make you free. And here there is a hint of regeneration. The new birth. To be born again, it's a making. He shall make you free. Jesus generates the soul, regenerates the soul, I beg your pardon. Anyone who repents and believes shall be made a new person. You will be given a new life. You will become a new creature, the new birth. You shall be born again, and then you shall become free indeed. Then there's a repetition of the word shall, which gives us the double promise. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Double is the promise that there is an assurance of freedom from Christ. And it is true. Why is Jesus telling us this? Because he knows that to be caught in slavery to sin is very dangerous. He knows it is difficult to come out of this slavery. He knows once you are bound by sin in a certain lifestyle, you are in deep, deep trouble. But then he gives the double promise that you shall be free indeed. Real freedom is the promise of Christ. Not the false one, not the temporal one. Free indeed means you have the power over sin. Free indeed means God is your Father. The words are there. If you are a liar or a slave to sin, despite the fact that God made you, you are the child of the devil, which is very strange, but it is true. Free indeed means heavenly inheritance. You become an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Free indeed means Jesus becomes your Lord. You are brought from slavery to Satan and sin, and you are brought onto slavery to Christ. And it's the best. Jesus was pleased to be the Father's servant. So must we. So all of these are arguments for us to think. Watch your life, friend. Consider the points which have been made. Examine yourself. Are you sure you are not in slavery to sin? Are you sure you are not living in bondage? Are you sure you have been set free? If you claim to have been really set free, are you sure? Watch out, friends, and consider these things. If the Son shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. And let's be watchful over this and ponder over them. And may the Lord bless us in all these things for his own name's sake. Amen.
Amen.
Let's pray together. O Lord God, our Father in heaven, thank you once again for this blessing of hearing about true freedom offered by Jesus Christ. He is the Son, and if he shall make anyone free, he shall be free indeed. Make us cautious about our lives and ponder over the things we do, where we take our body, how we think of our body, and be concerned about our soul, whether we are in true freedom or we are held captive by slavery to sin, whereby we think that we have freedom and yet it is only a temporal and false freedom. Oh, stir our hearts this afternoon. Oh, Holy Spirit, move us to think seriously about our lives and wonder where we stand, whether we are slaves to sin or we are servants of Christ. And bless thy gospel to save many here who are gathered for your own glory's sake. We ask these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.
Amen.